We thank you for your great love, Jesus. We worship you. We adore you,
Thank you that there's no conditions.
Thank you, Father.
We love you so much.
Thank you, Lord.
Love you, Jesus.
Glory to you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord.
We love you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. I don't want to say this, but I need to say it. You know, we're all free will agents. We're all free will. We have a free will to do what we want to do. And I see most everybody in here but that are worshiping the Lord, but I'm not real good at reading faces, so I might be wrong. But I think there's more. I think that there's more people that want to reach out and worship the Lord, and they haven't done it yet. And I can't say I love you, Jesus, for you. You have to say it, because
yes,
you're
right.
Your person and I'm my person, and,
yes,
and
yes.
Jesus wants to hear from you.
Yes.
And it'll be whatever happens here this morning, it'll be whatever you make of it for you.
Yes, yes.
Each person
right.
can make their own decision this morning if they
yes.
want to be just filled with his joy,
yes.
filled with his peace. Or we can just stand there or sit there. You may be standing or sitting and worshiping God with all your heart, because like I said, I'm not good at reading faces. I can't see inside of you to know what really is taking place. You might be exuberant right now in him and feeling all of his glory, but I know that there's some here that are not. And so I just want to encourage you that
yes,
the only
yes.
way that it's going to make a difference is if you decide with
yes,
your voice, because
right.
you're not a plant or an animal, something that I can tend to and take care of and help you to grow. You are a human being that God has given a free will to, and
yes.
only you can change,
yes.
and only you can decide to enter into his glory. And God wants the best for you this morning, and I want the best for you this morning. And I can't say I love you, Jesus, or I worship you, Jesus, for you. So if you want all he has for you today, just open your mouths.
Yes.
He has to hear your voice.
Yes, that's right.
As we worship him.
Yes.
Hallelujah,
yes.
Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
We want all you have to give,
I love
Lord.
You, Jesus.
And we want everyone
I
in this place
to
know your glory.
Yes.
To know your glory, Jesus. We know we don't have to feel it, but we have to know it, Jesus. We have to know that we know your glory, Jesus. We have to know you. Know your presence. Sense your presence.
I love you, Jesus.
We love you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And I worship you, Lord.
We worship you, Jesus. Blessed be the Lamb. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you. Hallelujah. Let's get relaxed. Let's continue to magnify him. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. One more time, would you all please stand with me? We exalt you, Jesus. We praise and magnify you. We glorify you, Jesus. All things are possible. We glorify you, Jesus.
Lord, we follow, holy as you.
worship you, Jesus. So just lift him up. Lift up that one that is worthy. Nothing else will do, saith the Spirit of grace. It is my anointing that breaks the yoke. For many participate week after week. Nothing more than something that solicits something from their emotion. The world has that power. Much of my church participates Sunday after Sunday in strong emotional services, but has no power. The power that I left you had the power to begin first in you, to change you from glory to glory, saith the Spirit of grace. And then from that which changed you, you were able to change the world around you. The first part of you walking free is to recognize the necessity for freedom. For most of my church really is in a place where they're quite comfortable with their shortcomings and their failures and all the things that keep causing them to fail decade after decade. They're not only comfortable, they've not even yet recognized those things in which I came to redeem them from. I not only gave them eternal life, I gave them the ability in this life to walk free. To walk free so much so that the freedom that they lived in truly evangelized a world around them. Not just with the gospel of salvation, but with the true gospel, that which had the capacity with power in it, saith the Spirit of grace. But because of an emotional church, because a church that has been fed in their emotions for many, many centuries, the church has come to not having the ability to discern between that which is of the Spirit and that which is of the flesh. But I say unto you that I've given you a path. I've given you a path deliberately to pray the mysteries in my Holy Ghost. That to whosoever will, they'll come to a place of understanding. First concerning their own life and the desire that I desire for them, that is to be free in every area of their life. And through that path, they'll branch out into other places. They'll water other gardens, and they'll go here and they'll go there, and they'll speak the truth in love. And when they have come and when they have gone, they will leave in their path the works that I do, you'll do also, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Imagine that. Imagine that. That he didn't leave it up for chance. But he really left it to a place where you could deliberately. I like what Candy said this morning. You're not a plant, you're not an animal. You have a free will choice. So what he wanted to do with that free will choice, he wanted to couple it with an ability that if you wanted to deliberately, you'd have a capacity just like one day if you woke up and said, I don't like being what I am. I can change. And I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about on the other side of salvation. That you could walk into a place that had extreme authority. If your condition has been the way it's been for the last long time, it's not God. Well, it's the devil. It's not God that's stopping it, and it's not the devil. Guess who might be? Why am I failing in this area? Guess who it might be? But you know he's not condemning you. He just wants to pull you out of it. I like the way Dave says it. Most people are rebuking Satan out of a stronghold that he put them in, and they don't even recognize the stronghold they're in. Do you know why we spend, why the Holy Spirit has commissioned us to spend so much deliberate time teaching you to pray in tongues? Because there's no other way. There's just no other way. He gave you a gift to walk into a place of deliberate change. And guess what? It's only the anointing that breaks the yoke. Now, if I understand him right, most of America and most of the world is caught up in churches where they come in and there'll be a tremendous party. And man, you'll go away, but guess what? You go away with no power. Go away hating Christians. Yes, hatred, strife, emulations. That's why you need to hear some of his latest messages on put on, put off, put on, put off. It's a choice. You can put on Christ and take off everything of the flesh. Teaching out of Galatians. But guess what? It was a free will choice. But he didn't just say, okay, I'll leave it up to you. You can get real hungry, and if you'll just find some way to seek me. Guess what? He gave you a deliberate path. He said, I'm going to give you the Comforter. And when the Comforter comes, he's going to guide you into all truth. Well, how does he guide you into all truth? By this right here, by praying in other tongues. He'll guide you. He'll begin to take the parts of your life that keeps causing you to fail and fail and fail and fail and fail, and you don't have any authority there. Listen, how can you break the authority over the enemy in somebody else's life when you can hardly break it in your own? Listen, people like to use those scriptures. Well, two or three are gathered together in my name. And if two or three will agree as touching, that's all in the same place. Luke 18. You know what he was talking about? An agreement. He's talking about a reconciling of your brother. If two or three of you'd get together and work with that brother, you can redeem him out of a fault that he had. That's what it was talking about. But listen, here's the deal. He gave you the Holy Spirit so that if you wanted to, you could keep on and keep on and keep on until you got to a place where he was able not only to give you eternal life, but he could set you free, so free that when you did pray, for no matter what you prayed for, it would make a true difference. It would truly make a difference, and it would break not only because you're free, then you can start breaking the yokes and give freedom to the whole world around you. Hallelujah. You know what faith is? We've been teaching on faith 101. Faith is believing that God can't lie. That's all it is. You remember those messages Dave taught when he was here out of the garden? When Adam fell and he goes to him and he says, why didn't you believe me when I said you were going to die? I cannot lie. I cannot lie. So what does that mean to us? It means this. We go to that place where we can receive from him, from the anointing. That place is absolutely already done. You mean it's already done? That's right. That's why, listen, I'm not putting anything down. You just got to understand who your Father is. That's why getting together with a bunch of people, usually in something called a prayer vigil. You know what all that is? It's usually a numbers game. It's usually a numbers game. Do you think that God acts like this? Like, okay, if I can, yeah, I believe intercessors help, but I can tell you how they help. Because I can tell you this, whatever changes makes, usually most Christians want somebody to do, they're praying for them. They want somebody, they want, would you pray for me? Why? Because I won't pray for myself. I won't spend the time for him to change. Why? Don't we need this one and that one? No, 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 no. You can change everything right by yourself. Your whole world can change. And usually a prayer vigil is people, they're thinking like, well, if I can get, it's like a numbers game, like God's got a computer and he's typing it all in, like, okay, I've got 500 praying here and 1,000 praying there, and so I'm getting more authority. Where are you getting authority from? A bunch of people that hate other people? You're getting authority from a bunch of people that, you're getting some people to pray and they're just crying their eyes out over some innocent thing, person. They're crying their eyes out. But over here, the other part of their life's just absolutely messed up, hating other people. That's why the mortification message is so strong, because what it does is it causes you to understand this. Who have you been made to be in Christ Jesus? And the moment that you believe that it's done, you can walk away from it. Is it a numbers game? Is it a numbers game, like, okay, we're going to put together a prayer vigil, a whole bunch of people, like we got 1,000 here and 1,000's praying in that state over there? Listen, did you know that you could get together with 10,000 people in a coliseum and everybody be wanting what they had, one thing on their mind? We're praying for that little soul or that person or this or that and the other. We want this to break. Did you know that it might boil down to just one or two in that whole coliseum that even had the authority? Why? Because authority comes from a place of you walking in Him. It doesn't come from a place where necessarily everything you've just jotted every I and crossed every T, but it comes from a place where you really got to know Him and He's working on every part of your life. So you think prayer vigils, you know what prayer vigils usually are? Prayer vigils are a bunch of people getting together and asking God to do something that He's already done. And almost like, okay, if we just keep a bunch of people praying, and if we have 500 here and 1,000 there, and if everybody just keeps asking Him the same thing, maybe He'll just eventually cave in and give us what He's already given us through Christ Jesus. My God. Is that lie, or is that lie on top of lie? One person, you as an individual, if you know Him. Well, you text us sometimes, Pastor, and get 8 or 10 people. Yeah, but it's not because I think 8's better than 1. I'm believing that the 8 have walked into a place of authority, that they know who they are. And their minds are being persuaded. Listen, you don't think that He doesn't hate this? He hates it because it's pure truth. Not because I'm saying it, but because He's saying it. One person can change the whole world. They're not agreeing with me. They hadn't checked on me. They're not this. Why don't you put your big boy pants on or your big girl pants on? Self-pity will kill you. I've been out of church and they hadn't checked on me. Guess what? You're getting weaker and weaker. Don't play that game. Don't play that game. You'll go to a place where you'll seal off. You'll harden your heart. Don't play that game. That's a game. Stop self-pity right where it's at. Well, who needs to agree with me? He's already agreed with you. He's already agreed with you. And that thing will come and He'll cause mindsets to come. You'll make decisions on convenience. Okay, well, we're not going to go to that church anymore. We can't come here anymore because it's more convenient for our family over here. What is it? You're going to trade off? Well, I'm going to put them in that youth group. I'm going to put them over here because maybe I can nurture my kids. He said, go ahead. That's what He said. Go ahead and run after your kids. Go ahead, do that. Trade your kids for the anointing and find out what happens in the end when everything goes south and all of hell's breaking loose. Listen, I drive, there's some guys that have been, I don't see them here this morning, but they're driving. Listen, I drive, if I know what I know now, I drive halfway across the state every Sunday, if necessary, to find a church like this where the anointing. And then you're going to make decisions like, well, I'll just go there because it's, or I'll go here, or I'll go there. I'll just trade off part of my life. Why? Listen. He hates this. He hates it. That's why a lot of people, even elders, have left saying, they're wrong, they're wrong. Then they get out there and then they don't even believe tongues are for today. You don't think that He doesn't have a program for you? If you start working in the emotional realm and making decisions on your own and believe that something that you're hearing is from God, there's only one path. Your path, Pastor? No, it's His path. He left us a comforter. Well, let's get a bunch of people to pray. Listen, if you want to keep through the night and do a watch, stand there. If you want to keep yourself accountable and hold something up, you're not asking Him again and again, like, okay, can we get this straight? He that spared not His own Son. Okay, He started in the garden. They died spiritually. He finds them. He knows where they're at. Where art thou? I'm right over here. I'm naked. Who told you were naked? God knew all this. Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world. In other words, He knew all that was going to happen before it happened, but He still loved you enough. He said, I'm going to provide a lamb. I'm going to provide a lamb. It's going to take me 4,000 years to get that lamb. Kingdoms will come. Kingdoms will fall. People will desert me. People will come back. I'll put commandments in the earth. I'll put a law. I'll bring forth Abraham, my select one. And through Abraham, I'll bring forth a law. Sacrifice after sacrifice. All of this, all of the law, all the typologies, all the shadows. Can you imagine? All the shadows. And you get people come in. Let's study. And I'm not making fun of them. But let's study Judaism. Let's blow the shofar. Let's bring... Why? I appreciate that, but that's a shadow. That's a shadow. Let's stay in the image of the thing that's making the shadow, which is Christ. If you don't pray in tongues, you'll get off in everything in the world. Every little tangent will come by. You'll grab that. I think that's God. Maybe God's in that. Maybe God's in this. What'd you say? It's a proven fact. You get off. So he 4,000 years, he did it and he did it and he did it. And then he sent this man, Christ, into the earth. And he suffered. I'm telling you, he walked a sinless life. And he fulfilled every of all those hundreds, thousands of prophecies. He fully fulfilled every single one of them. God said, this is who I am. And he gave him under the penalty of death. And when he raised up, he said, I give you this. You are my church, and you know this. I bore in my body all of your infirmities. I took your sicknesses. I became your poverty. And then, listen, we have the audacity to think that we're going to form a bunch of prayer groups and get in front of God and tag team each other and say, okay, I've been asking Him to do it, asking Him to do it, asking. He who spared not His own Son, how shall He not? This was the argument that Paul made. How, if He did all that, if He started from the garden in 4,000 years, God labored to get Jesus in the earth and then He crucified Him. If He did all that, how shall He? He asked the whole church this. Analytical. Just think about it. Just think about it is what He was saying. How, if He did all that, why would He hold anything that He did for you? Why would He not freely give you? So we'll stand there. I'm asking you, God, hour after hour, will you do it? Will you do it? There's 500 of us. Listen, all He's asking is for a few or anybody that'll step up and come to the realization that He's already done it. And they're walking in a place of authority where the emotions are not. Why isn't the church getting things? Why do people keep dying when it seems like so many are praying? I can tell you, because most of everything that they're offering up is coming through the emotions. That's why. It's mostly coming through the emotions. But I feel it. What about spending a place in Him That's why praying in tongues and giving yourself over to the crucifixion of the flesh causes you to come into a place and say, well, listen, my God, it's not necessary. If we agree, like, how many do I have standing with me? You know who you are. You can step up and say, if you spared not Jesus, you won't hold anything from me. I receive it. And if you want to watch after that, like if you feel like your faith wasn't, it didn't go all the way in fully in that prayer, then you can stand there half the night if you want to and just give him praise for who he already is and what he's done. You can labor like that. You can hold yourself accountable like that. Many decisions are being made. Watch your decisions, saith the Spirit of grace. Listen to my spirit. I say to all of you, every day, wait on my spirit. For many of you believe who love me that I have spoken to you. I say to you, not every dream that comes to you is from me, saith the Spirit of the Lord. I'm asking a church to rise up to know when the devil comes and when I come. But more importantly, I'm asking you to know when your flesh is taking you astray, saith the Spirit of grace. I've given you a perfect plan through my spirit to walk into me and to who I am. So know this, 1 hour. 1 hour in my presence praying in tongues brings you all the more closer to that perfect place where you'll know my will, and the things that you speak and the things that you call on me for will come to pass. You are not earning it, saith the Spirit of grace, but you're coming to a place to know who you are in me, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Know this, many people that people pray for will die. They will die. Many people that thousands pray for will die. But I'm not in that. But I am resurrecting my church to understand the difference between emotions and what is spirit. For it is a lost art, saith the Spirit of grace. Know this, do not look and say, but so many employed the name of the Lord. But so few knew me, saith the Spirit of grace. I'm asking for a generation to come up and to know me like never before, and to walk free from emotions and walk free from the status quo of the church and what the church says is God today. I'm asking you to know me in an inner place of your spirit, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Now this is different. It's different for a lot of you. But he's taken us into a place called revival. And many will come and many will go. We've had many come and we've had many go. And many still will go. They will go. Lord told Homer when he had more youth than this, when their youth services were bigger than our, he said, just get ready. It's going to go down to nothing. And it did. Well, I like what David Hogan said. He said, the best church I ever went to had 12 people in it because they were all in agreement. They were all walking in unity. Hallelujah. What's he wanting us to get ready for? Well, we've gotten past a lot of different things. But we keep looking. That's why I couldn't understand. No, wait a minute. I don't get this. If you're building towards the future for revival, how is it that we keep losing everybody? I mean, 10 years ago, we had double this amount of times. Now, like if it keeps going down 4, 5, 10, 15, right on down, that's not working, God. That's not working. How could you ever get a whole bunch out of so little? You know why? Because of authority. I don't know if any of you ever seen Men in Black. I didn't see it, but somebody told me about it. The first one was that guy coming from another place, and he was running after that prince or that guy that was covering, and he was after capturing a universe. And at the end of it, that alien that was an assassin that came to kill and take the universe, they killed him, and then the bug, I think that's what somebody told me. And the whole universe escapes on a little cat, on a little crystal ball that's on his. And when you look inside that crystal ball, there's galaxies in there. And there's solar systems in there. And evidently on those little planets, there's millions of other aliens and creatures and stuff. Do you know what? That's the same way, really, in the spirit. You can carry a whole world inside of you. One man did, his name was Jesus. And then when he said, the works that I do, he was turning it over to you and saying, look, do you really believe that numbers, okay, I got 500 now, I got 1,000 now. Father, we're getting close to moving on this situation. We got 10,000 people now praying. We got 10,000 people that hate other people, but they're praying for this person. But what we need is an accumulative amount of intercessors. We got 20,000. It's peaking. The thermometer in heaven's coming up. It's coming up. It's coming up. It's peaking. It's peaking. It's peaking. We got 50,000 people that hate other people, but they're praying for this person. It's peaking, Father. You can hold a whole universe. That's why if he took everybody and stripped it down, all those things that he comes, the enemy, when he strips it down and comes in, people leave, they're mad, they're upset. That's one of the reasons why we don't have membership around here. Because it saves me the time of finding your certificate and giving it back to you when you get ready to leave. It's okay. They're leaving. I knew that a long time ago. Saved myself. We've had people move from other states. We've had people come. This is the best thing I've ever seen. I've wanted. I'm going to be here forever and forever and forever. Know this. He's got a plan. But God's got a greater plan. But you can carry a whole universe inside of you. That's why I understand it like this. That if he keeps stripping, if the enemy keeps stripping, you know what? The ones that are standing, those are the ones who've made it. And inside of them, they keep getting this universe. They made it past that. They made it past that. The devil tried to talk them out of leaving here and leaving there. And then busybodies got on the phone with them and they wouldn't hear it. And well, I'll tell you, Pastor, you know, get that Bronc. All he's in this thing called a Dave Roberson clique. He's in a Dave Roberson clique. Well, then what are you going to do? You're going to turn and go to another clique? There is not one ministry that anybody has ever, when they say, we're in a clique, who are they listening to? Because that's their clique. Everything's an establishment. If you find one other person, the hippies were an establishment. They were rebelling against the establishment, but they were an establishment. If you find one other person that thinks like you and you start talking together, you then become an establishment. So, well, there's three or four of us that have got together and we realize we've decided he's in a clique, he's in that five spoke, you know, praying in tongues, Dave Roberson. We're sick of that. We're sick of that. We're sick of that. Well, let's see, the four or five of you that got together and decide you're sick of it, now you're a clique. You're an establishment. See how stupid the devil is? Not them, the devil. I've run everybody off. It's pee break. I'm going to give you one in a minute, but please don't leave. because we need your money. Hallelujah. There's only one way. You just got to keep praying in tongues. You got to keep praying in tongues. I love the way Dave says it. Can't improve on it. Better is a Crete that prays. Do you know a Crete that prays in tongues will get more done than a person over here that don't pray in tongues, and yet it seems like to everybody that they got it together. It seems like. But you don't know what goes on. There's a song, Behind Closed Doors. You don't want to live with them. Keep praying in tongues, because there's a crystal, there's a little universe to live inside of. So what if he does? I couldn't figure it out for a long time. It finally dawned on me. Every time that Satan comes in and somebody leaves and a whole bunch leaves, what if he did get us down to 4 or 5 or 8 or 10? That 8 or 10 would have been the ones that got past the flesh, got past busybodies, got past. How'd they get past it? Through willpower? Oh my God. If it had been willpower, I'd have left a long time ago. But you keep praying and keep praying. Guess what? That authority keeps swelling on the inside of. Then you become a walking universe. You can take one of those people, and they are a prayer vigil. Just one of them alone. Just one of them alone hold a whole universe inside of them. Queda socariste. Now that, my friend, is truth. It is truth. Hallelujah. Would you just stand? We worship you, Father. We glorify you and praise you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We exalt you. We exalt you. Hallelujah, Jesus. While you're going to give each other a hug and make a mad dash to the restroom, please be in prayer about what he'd have you to come back. I have a photographic memory. I can see and know everybody that's still in here. If you don't come back in here and give something, no, I'm just kidding. Sends his greetings to everybody. Says hello. Hallelujah. Jimmy's waving at him. You know the wonderful thing about where we're headed, it's again so deliberate. It takes a place of superiority over all those attacks that came in Mark chapter 4. Affliction and persecution. Those seem like sometimes biggies. They are, if you're going through them. But he named them in ascending order. We know that he named them in ascending order because he just walked through in Luke 4 and Matthew 4 the exact same thing. Matthew gave you the sequential order. Luke doesn't, like, and then. Matthew keeps saying when he was in the wilderness, and it says, and then. So you know in the order in which the temptations came, the three temptations, you know how that they ascended to the highest temptation. So Mark 4 is all those temptations that he got past for you and me. Well, affliction and persecution, that's sickness and financial problems and all those kinds of things. They'll mess with somebody if you let them. But then if you know how to turn yourself over to Him, you can live in a place carefree and walk free. And then He'll start adding Himself to you. While you've got the care, it's hard for Him to add to you. But that's, no matter how it's ever buffed, pushed any of us around, that's really, that's the first rung. He said the next one He'd come with was what? Lust of other things. He'd come with what was that order? It was first affliction and persecution. The next one was He'd come and He'd offer to you a lot of different things, and the last one was the lust of other things. What was the last temptation? It wasn't the other things wasn't like this, that, and the other. The last temptation was the God complex. Well, we haven't, for the most part, even been tried with the second one. The deceitfulness of riches, that's what it was. It was the afflictions, persecution, deceitfulness of riches. Do you know it takes more faith not to be distracted than to come out of something like affliction and persecution? Dave always said it like this: persecution and affliction, you want out of it. You'll do anything that God offers to get out of it. You'll just fight like a crazy person. You'll fast, you'll pray, God, I'm sick, I'm starving, I'm doing this. God, show me your plan. Well, that was the first rung. The second one was deceitfulness of riches. The second one is based on pleasure, and pleasure, you don't want out, you want in. So if something can keep feeding you and feeding you, that's why I'm careful when we talk about these big churches and television ministries and stuff. I know this, it's important for me to keep dying now. Because when the thousands of, not talking about people, but when people too, but when the thousands and thousands come in and it's there at your fingertips, you better know this. That's a higher takeout. That's a higher takeout than 50 people in the church and not enough hardly to pay the light bill, and you're doing this and you're doing that, and this one needs this and that one's sick. And that's one battle. But we haven't been tested with the next. The next one's the one He comes with, that when He'll tag on to God's prosperity. And if you can get past that one, then He's got one more. If you can go to a place where anointing is raging, then He's got one more. See if He can do. What was the last one? He said, if you'll fall down and worship Me, I'll give you everything. That's why these guys here, I could care less about how good they play. I want them to keep dying. I want them to keep dying. Because they don't know nothing about. They're some of the best young men I know, along with some others. But they don't know nothing about, like me, what's coming. But they better be dead. When they have the power to open up a whole Colosseum and a whole bunch of people, I could care less about their talent. Talent is a dime a dozen. And while most of these guys that got talent are messing around at the same time, if anything, he hates the worshipers. He hates them. Do you know how many? I hate to shock you. I'm listening for permission. Do you know that so many, because I'm a minister and I get to hear stuff that I don't want to hear. And I just, soon they just leave me out of the conversation. Don't tell me. But do you know how many people that are worship leaders and worship bands and people that people just, oh God, they give me goosebumps when I, do you know how many of them are involved in homosexuality? It would just, you'd get sick and you'd say, I don't want nothing to do with the church anymore. Why? God, how can they do? Why? Because he comes in places and they're messing around with on their wives and they're just, and you say, well, why does he anoint them? He's not anointing what they're doing. He's still showing up because they did know him and they developed a place inside of them. But guess what? Along with it, now I could care less how talented these boys are, but they know and they're doing it. And anybody else that ever comes along, because we haven't been tested with the last one. We're going to be. If we keep going, we're going to be. Does it make you afraid? Oh no, I know the one, the God that brought me through afflictions and persecutions. He'll also take me past the God complex and the lust of other things. And he'll take me past deceitfulness of riches. Hallelujah. So Dave always taught me, he said, man, when they start complimenting you, just pass it all over. Just pass it all over on God. Just pass it all over on God. You don't have to be afraid. Like, I can say thank you. I can say thank you. I like what Marty always says when he's back there. He goes, I don't know nothing. And I'm not even trying to know anything. And as long as he keeps doing that, not knowing anything, he'll do good. Hallelujah. The moment you think you know something, I'm going to plan this service out. And this is my space. My space in the church. This is my ministry in the church. Guess what? He's going to come in here and he's just going to move ministries like this. Glory to God. There was a prophecy a number of years ago that said, don't hold your ministry too tight. You'll always be being used. But the moment you start thinking, this is mine, you're sitting in my chair because that's my intercessory chair right there. Or this is my ministry chair right here. Or this is my space. Hallelujah. Did I take up the offering yet? Forget what you just heard. No, I'm just kidding. So what you're saying is, well, we got some elders here. They've never been ordained, men and women. They just, the cream rises to the top. Anybody that ever said, I think you should ordain me, I say, well, I don't tell them. I said, well, that's why I haven't ordained you. Why are you not recognizing my talent? Because you are. And you're just the big, you're the greatest trumpet you need. Elders always come to the top. Because usually they, what? Well, I don't want to be an elder. Oh, no, you don't. Now, I'm not the one doing it. It's him in me. But I dare say that you've heard more truth today than you'll get in 6 months. Some of you are thinking maybe ever. Hallelujah. So Father, we pray over this offering as we get ready to give today, and then very possibly go out of here, that the power of God will just move and minister upon our life. We receive over the offering of the Family Prayer Center of Immokalee all the finances that we need. And everybody else that's in this house believing God for change in their life, you are that God who supplies and meets all of our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. If you did, as you bring this up and then you get ready, I'm just checking. Why don't we stand and worship the Lord? We'll be ready to leave here in just a few moments. If anybody has a particular need as we get ready to leave, just in maybe one more worship song, if you have a need in your body or you need anything, just why don't you come forward if you feel like you need prayer or something represented this morning while we're giving this offering. So we worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I release your glory now. And in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we release your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is what we need for the breakthrough of the city. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you all. Thanks for staying and praying. Be blessed today. Amen.